we are the seed, we should be producing fruit. That's what he's implying here. If we are the seed, then we should produce an abundance of good fruit as well.
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Chapter 13, beginning of verse 24, let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's skip down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today we are continuing our summer series called According to Matthew, and we are currently looking at some of Jesus' parables. Last week we looked at the parable of the sower, or more accurately, the parable of the soils. Next week we will conclude our examination of Jesus' parables recorded in Matthew's gospel with some of his shorter kingdom parables. This week we will look at the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the parable of the weeds, depending on your translation. And what we find looking at this parable is that the kingdom of God exists side by side with the elements of wickedness and evil in this world. But in the end, those elements will be cast into the fire, while the children of the kingdom will shine like the sun. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from you comes all wisdom and knowledge, and you have given to us this teaching today. Open our eyes that we may see the glory of your holy word given to us in love through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In my research this week, I have learned way more than I ever wanted to know about a weed grain called darnel. Darnel, have you ever heard of darnel? The Latin for darnel is lolium temulentum. Okay, that's the actual species name, lolium temulentum, which actually means a drunken lollipop. Darnel is a weed that resembles wheat in a lot of ways. It produces a grain that looks an awful lot like the grain of wheat that we know. However, Darnel is a weed that is toxic. It has intoxicating properties. In fact, people have used darnel as a kind of a drug. They've used it to fortify beer in Jesus' time. They also used it, they baked it into bread. You think that we invented edibles? We didn't. They baked it into bread, and they would get high eating this stuff. The problem with it is, if you eat too much, it can kill you. It's toxic. It's poisonous. And so it affects the vision and the speech. You know, if you've ever read Shakespeare's play, King Lear, King Lear made a crown for himself out of darnel. And he went mad. And some suggest that what Shakespeare was saying was that the weed itself is what made him insane. He acted as if he were under the influence of this toxic weed. But the point is that darnel looks an awful lot like wheat. But in the end, it's poisonous and ultimately deadly to the one who consumes it. Wheat provides sustenance in the form of flour and grain. It can be used for a number of purposes, but darnel in the end is just a weed that is toxic and potentially deadly. So with all that in mind, and understanding that that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the weeds, we're talking about literally darnel weed. And a lot of the things that I've read, especially from John Wesley, reference this point, that it is darnel weed. So here's the parable. Now, just like last week, we're going to look at these verses in pairs, beginning with the parable, and then allowing Jesus himself to explain the meaning. So verse 24. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. Now in verse 37, he explains it this way. He says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Okay? So the man sowing good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus uses this title to refer to himself throughout the Gospels. Even though he was the promised Messiah, he never came out and said, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, right? He suggested it a couple of times when he was sitting with the Syrophoenician woman at the well, and she asked him, you know, our forefathers promised that there would be a Messiah, an anointed one who was to come. And he said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. But he used this phrase, the Son of Man, to describe himself much, much more. Why? Because the expectation of a Messiah was that he would be a military leader who would free the people from their oppressors. In other words, he would grant Israel its independence from Rome. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He came to grant us independence, true, but it is independence from sin and death by taking those things on for us. They thought he would be a military leader. But instead, the title Son of Man refers to the passage in Daniel, whereby the prophet sees the coming of the deliverer. In Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, we read, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That was referring to the coming of Jesus. And that was referring to the first coming of Jesus. But in a way, it was also referring to his return. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And so this is why Jesus referred to himself as Son of Man rather than the Messiah, because it meant so much more than just the one who was anointed by God. He was that, yes, but he was also the one to whom was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. So the kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. Again, note that the field, he says in verse 37, or I'm sorry, yeah, 37, the field is the world. That's what he says in verse 38. Note that the field is not merely the church or Israel. It's the entire world. All the world is given the good seed, which he says is the sons or the children of the kingdom. Here it says the children of the kingdom, right? The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So the good seed is us, the ones who follow Christ, the ones who follow God through Jesus Christ. These are those who are like the good soil from last week's parable, who hear the word and understand it, and it produces a harvest that is 30, 60, even 100-fold. Think about it. If we are the seed, we should be producing fruit. That's what he's implying here. If we are the seed, then we should produce an abundance of good fruit as well. When you plant a single seed, it grows of wheat, it grows into a stalk that produces 50 grains. So the multiplication is there. You get a 50-fold increase in your harvest. And that is what he's doing by sowing these seeds into the field, which again is the entire world. Now, verse 25, he says, while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. Now, he explains it this way in verse 38. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The weeds here are described as the children of the evil one. The Greek word for the weeds suggests, again, darnel weed, okay, which is like wheat in appearance, but its grains are toxic. Some in Jesus' day used these grains in bread and beer to produce an intoxicating effect, but too much of the grain can be deadly. In John chapter 8 and verses 44 through 47, Jesus describes the children of the evil one. He says to the Jews who refuse to believe him and to believe in him, you are of your father, the devil. He's accusing them of being children of the evil one. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. Listen. Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So when people deny the truth of the gospel, when people deny the truth of God, it's because they're not of God. They are these darnel weeds. They resemble Christians in every way. We look the same. We are the same. We're human beings, all of us, but we are not children of the same Father. He says that the wheat, the good seed, are children of the kingdom, but the weeds are children of the evil one. He says the enemy is the devil. The Greek word there is diabolos. It doesn't really leave much to the imagination. Diabolos. God is not the author of evil, but he has created both angels and humans with free will. Now, Satan was once one of God's angels. In fact, he was the one who led worship in heaven, but he desired God's position and power. And because of that, he fell from heaven and he took a third of the angels with him. And those angels who he took with him today are the demons of the devil. Now we're starting to talk about things that make us uncomfortable. And I apologize for that, but the Bible's not always a comfortable book to read, especially if we're on the fringe, especially if we're on the borderline, if we're somewhere between the wheat and the tares. We don't know or where do our allegiances lie? And we say to ourselves, well, why would a God of love condemn people to hell? Understand this, that God doesn't condemn people to hell. People condemn themselves to hell by denying God in their life, okay? And so these people have chosen to follow the ways of the devil. They are the children of the evil one. Now, verses 26 through 30, we're going to read all of these together. So, when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in the bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So, rooting out the weeds among the wheat is a destructive process that will destroy both. If you've ever seen how weeds grow, their roots entangle with the crop that you sow. So in pulling out the weeds, you end up pulling out the good crop as well. And then both are destroyed. So the weeds, or the tares, or the darnel, it's allowed to grow alongside the wheat. Which means that those who are of God walk the earth alongside those of the devil until the end of time. So we shouldn't be surprised or dismayed that the world opposes God. Christ himself warns us in this parable. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Do not pronounce judgment before the time. We don't separate the wheat from the tares before the harvest. And that's what he's saying here. Now in verse 31, he says, let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So what's he talking about? Verse 39, he explains it. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. God has determined an end of the age. God has determined when that will be, and he knows when it is, but we do not. And that's by design, because if we knew when the end was coming, we could very easily just do whatever we want and then repent at the very end of time, knowing the day and the hour when Jesus would return. But instead, we are to act as Christ's representatives in the world all the time, and not just for a moment at the end of our lives. And so, the end of the world, the judgment day of God, is described as a harvest. Both in the Old and the New Testament, this is not just something that is mentioned in the New Testament. The Old Testament prophets, the prophetic book of Revelation, all of this refers to the end of time as a harvest. In Joel chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, it says, let the nations stir themselves up and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. I will sit to judge. This is God talking. I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Then he says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. He's talking about a coming judgment. Hebrews tells us that it is appointed for once for a man to die, and then the judgment. Revelation chapter 14 and verses 14 through 16, John the apostle writes, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man. Sounds an awful lot like Daniel's description, doesn't it? With a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. What's a sickle for? Sickles for harvest. Another angel came out of the temple calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. So the end time is described as a harvest. A harvest. And here he says, at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So this happens in the reaping, in the harvest. And the reapers, Jesus tells us, are the angels of God. The angels of God. So in verses 40 and 41, okay, verses 40 and 41, Jesus goes on to describe this. He says, just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. So we see that at the end of the age, the Son of Man sending forth his angels to gather out of the kingdom those who cause sin by false doctrine and those who follow such. Here's the problem with false doctrine. It leads people away from God. And Jesus warned us also in Matthew's book that for those who mislead the little ones who believe in him, he says it would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and throw themselves into the sea. I take those words to heart. I am very, very careful about what I teach and what I preach, because I want to make sure that what you are hearing from my lips is the truth. I don't want to mislead anybody. And so when I read the Bible, I read it with an eye of it being God's word. And so when I present it to you, I want to make sure that I am presenting the truth. And that's why I do so much research behind all of my sermons. But here we see the Son of Man going out to gather those who cause sin by false doctrine and those who follow such. They will collect the weeds and bind them in bundles to be burned. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7, Jesus says, woe to the world for temptations to sin. Temptations are all around us. He says, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom this temptation comes. And that's why I say I'm very careful about what I teach and what I preach, because I'm going to be held accountable at the end for the things that I teach. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and verse 23, Jesus says, on that day, many will come and say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And there are a lot of preachers who are out there speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, but they are not of Christ because they preach a different gospel. They preach a different good news than what Jesus came to proclaim. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That phrase, workers of lawlessness, is the same as when he says, all causes of sin and all evildoers. So verse 42, It's getting a little bit warm now. Verse 42, and then they will throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, hell is often described by Jesus as a fiery furnace where the fire is never quenched. It is not, as some people say, one big party where everybody smokes and drinks and plays cards all day. I've heard people say the phrase, I would rather rule in hell than to serve in heaven, which is a dumb statement. It's dumb because nobody rules in hell. God rules in hell. Not even the devil rules in hell. Hell is not the abode of the devil. It is a prison, an eternal prison and torment that was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even made for us. It wasn't even designed with us in mind. And God doesn't desire that any of us should go there. God doesn't condemn people to hell. He sent his son to save us from it. And that's the good news. You see, we shouldn't follow God to save ourselves from hell because we're afraid of hell. But because he has already rescued us from it, that's why we give to him our love. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we were the worst of the worst, and he sent down his only son to bear our punishment for us. That's why we love God. That's why we respond to the gospel. That's why we are Christians. And then everything that God offers to us through his son, Jesus Christ, everything in the world pales in comparison with that. Because everything that the world offers to us, it tarnishes, it fades, it darkens, it rusts, it corrodes, it falls apart. How many of you still have the first car you've ever owned? Anybody? I don't. I wish I did. I love that car, but it got wrecked in an accident. You know? Actually, it was an 84 Escort. Maybe it wouldn't be that great, but but still, you know, I love that car, and I hated that it got towed away after that accident, which, by the way, wasn't my fault. No, it really wasn't. I mean, I've had other accidents that were. That one was not. But the point is, we get something and it's glitzy, it shines and it's wonderful. Over time, it becomes dull, it fades, and then all of a sudden, we don't get as much joy out of it as we used to. God's love is never like that. It doesn't fade. If anything, it gets brighter over time. And the more we see of what God did for us to rescue us from hell, the more we love him. And the more we come to know the love and saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. So, it's not some party. I've heard people say, you know, I want to go to hell. I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are at. You're not going to be hanging out with your friends, I'm sorry to say. Hell is an eternal prison for the devil and all who follow him. Now, verse 43, he says, the contrast, they will throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with the ears listen. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Daniel. Again, Daniel chapter 12 now. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We're going to shine. We shine now. That's the thing. We are light in the darkness. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. And then he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's who we are as Christians, as Christ ones, as followers of Christ. We are the light of the world. We shine. Now, it's difficult for the modern believer to truly appreciate the reality of hell when many preachers steer clear of the subject. Many of us have derived our theology of hell from cartoons that depict the devil tormenting some poor soul. But the devil no more rules hell than he does heaven or earth. His influence is here, true. But God is the one seated on the throne. And so we look to him, not to those who resemble Christianity, not to those whose intoxicating allure is pleasing for a moment, but ultimately deadly. This parable teaches us that we, the children of the kingdom, will grow in our faith alongside of those in the world who are growing in their toxicity. There will come a day when the wheat is separated from the tares, a day of righteous judgment. We don't like talking about it, but Jesus warned us of that day, and wise followers of Christ heed that warning. Yet our motivation to follow Christ is not mere fire insurance. We don't fear God's judgment because his judgment has already fallen on Christ. And so we are called to love God because he has saved us from hell by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to the one who has saved us and shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Let us pray. Almighty, most loving, most merciful God, our Father, we thank you that you have given to us this teaching today, given by your beloved Son, recorded for us by the Apostle. As we hear these words today, let the seed of the gospel take root in our very souls to draw us near to you. May we go forth from this place with joy to share this good news with our neighbors, with our loved ones, with all the world. We look forward to that day when Christ will return and judge all things, that you would be glorified and that your will would be done. We pray for those who are deceived by the world, that they would hear the words of truth and eternal life and turn to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope that this teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for Bible-based and God-honoring worship. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Sunday school available and Bible study during the week. Now, this podcast is self-funded and we never ask for donations. It reaches people all around the world, but it could reach more people if you do a couple of things, and it won't cost you a penny. First, subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and also like the podcast. That puts the podcast in front of more people so that the gospel may reach them as well. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will listen to Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.